It's the Congressional Corner with a wonderful man, a guy who said to us, I'm coming on even after I'm senator, and you have, and you've kept your word, and what's that worth in politics? You are terrific. Thank you so much, Chris Murphy, for being with us.
I know, I'm such a big shot now, you know. I'm in the United States Senate, and I'm still talking to, you know.
Yeah,
still
exactly.
Talking to, still talking to you.
Exactly. What could you be thinking? Okay.
I love this time we get to spend together. Great to be with you again.
Chris Murphy, the state of infrastructure talks. Where are we?
We're talking right now on a Monday, and we're planning on a Wednesday to take a vote on the bipartisan proposal, which is about $500 billion in spending on hard infrastructure, roads, bridges, rail lines. And then we're looking at a second package, which would go through what we call reconciliation. That's a process where you need 50 rather than 60 votes. And that would have a lot of human infrastructure spending in it. We're going to do universal pre-K. We're going to provide significant support for decreased child care costs. We're going to have paid family medical leave in there. You know, stuff that helps regular average people in this country. And we're going to, you know, get there by raising taxes on billionaires and corporations. Just sort of seems like the right thing to do. So where are we? You know, we're taking a look at a vote this week on the bipartisan bill. And then by the end of the month, have the process of passing the reconciliation package begin. But listen, Joe Biden came to our caucus last week, Alan, and said, you got to understand, you know, people in Scranton are hurting. Regular people out there are in sort of desperation. They're working full time and they're not making enough money to be able to pay their bills and put their kids to college. And they look at these billionaires and these corporations paying nothing in taxes. They know it's not right. And so it's time to do something big. It's time to ask those folks to pay more and to be able to, you know, help regular people with regular costs of living, like childcare, like education. And that's what we're going to try to do here. Just shift the balance of power in this country away from the very wealthy and powerful to regular people.
How do you pay for it?
Well, again, you pay for it by going back to those massive tax cuts that the Republicans passed for billionaires and for corporations. And you sort of claw back that money. That really didn't lead to, you know, any substantial economic growth beyond what was already forecasted, and you put that money into the hands of regular people instead. So, for instance, what we want to do is extend this child tax credit. This is this, you know, tax credit that goes to low-income and middle-income families that have kids. Instead of, you know, giving a massive tax cut to corporations, as Trump did, let's raise that corporate tax up a little bit again. Let's use that money to fund a tax cut for, you know, middle-income people.
Chris Murphy, isn't it, I don't want to use this word with you because you're very sophisticated, but isn't it a little bit naive to think that the Republicans will vote for any additional taxes or any financing of this?
It is certainly contrarian to the way in which Mitch McConnell has operated for the last 10 years. You know, when he's in the minority, his entire MO is to stop anything and everything that Democrats want to do. His problem is that once we show that we have an ability to pass things on our own, a handful of his members start coming to the table. So we passed the American Rescue Plan, which included the child tax credit in it. In addition, it, you know, had extension of unemployment benefits, and it had money for states and municipalities. Republicans, you know, voted to a person against that, but it made them really uncomfortable because then they went back home and saw all these good things that were happening, all these police and fire jobs that were being preserved, all these projects happening, and they couldn't take credit for any of it. So now Republicans are saying, well, maybe we won't vote for the whole $3.5 trillion, but we'd like to at least vote for a portion of that so that we can go home and take some credit for it. So it does help to show Republicans that if they don't work with us, we're moving forward anyway, because that actually makes them start to think, well, maybe at least for a portion of this, we should do it in a bipartisan way.
You know, Chris, I've always thought that what happens is they oppose. In some cases, they go back and say, see what we did for you. which is, you know, pretty bad.
There certainly are occasions all over the country in which they're trumpeting things that they voted against. And, you know, of course, we listen to Republicans tell us all the time, you know, how much they support police, for instance. Well, if not for the American Rescue Plan, there would be police officers being laid off all across the country. I mean, state and local budgets are cratering in many places. The consequence would have been major public sector layoffs, including fire and police. And so, you know, we sort of, you know, cringe a little bit when we hear Republicans talking about how much they support law enforcement. Well, you can't support law enforcement if you voted against the American Rescue Plan. That's actually what's employing tens of thousands of police officers all across this country today.
Let me switch subjects for a second, because we only have a second left in this segment. When will America finally get high-speed rail?
This is my priority heading into the next month. I want enough money to be able to dramatically reduce the travel time on rail lines in America, especially in the Northeast. There's about $30 billion for the Northeast Corridor in the bipartisan package, but that's not enough. We have $40 billion of what we call state of good repair projects, just things that are broken that need to be fixed in order to maintain existing service. I want to be able to get from New Haven to New York in 1 hour and 5 minutes. That is completely doable on the existing right-of-way with a bunch of major improvements. And I am determined, and Senator Blumenthal agrees with me, I just talked to Rosa DeLauro on the phone about this an hour ago, we are determined to get enough money in these infrastructure bills in order to dramatically change the amount of time that it takes to get from Connecticut to Boston or New York.
Amazing. I can't wait. So finally, is the White House's plan to do roads and bridges infrastructure in one bill and human infrastructure in another going to work?
I don't think it will. I think that there's not enough money for hard infrastructure in the bipartisan bill to get the job done. Again, as I mentioned before, there's not even enough money for rail in the bipartisan bill to fix what's broken. So if we really want to be able to get high-speed rail, you've got to have some additional money in the reconciliation proposal, and that's what Senator Blumenthal and I and others are fighting for. And by the way, rail investment, it's kind of like the Holy Grail. It's good for the overall economy because businesses will locate to the Northeast if they know they can get their people and goods on the rail line to places faster. It's good for low-income people because the quicker their commute is to work via rail, the more flexibility they have when it comes to where they live. Now, if you want to work in New York, you only have the most expensive jurisdictions in the country to find housing. Quicker rail commutes into New York gives low-income workers more flexibility. And lastly, it's great for climate. More people that we get onto the trains, off of planes and out of cars, the less carbon emissions.
I have to say, and I know it's unforgivable, but you mentioned the Holy Grail. And so I think what you've been speaking about is the Holy Rail.
Too good. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to use that. It was mine.
We've been talking to Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, our friend, and we are so grateful, Chris, that you come on and talk to us this way. So we'll be back soon for yet another conversation.